Hi, Steve Pomerantz here, host of On the Money with today's On the Money Extra, where we feature market updates and insights as well as guest interviews with noted financial experts to help you stay informed and learn the facts to make the right decisions about money. So let's get started. As you know, I like to follow all things Warren Buffett. My next guest has a similar passion, and he writes about Buffett from his perch at the Motley Fool. Patrick Morris is his name, and I welcome him back to the show. Welcome back. Patrick, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Fine. You know, you've written some articles recently about Buffett, as you always do, and one that caught my attention was Warren Buffett tells you how to turn $40, that's 40 bucks, into $10 million. How do you do that?
So that's a great question. So really, Buffett spoke to that maybe about a decade ago, but just the reality that he talked about when Coca-Cola, when it first went public in 1919, so almost 100 years ago, 95 years ago, that just $40 put into it just safely and securely, and if it had just simply been held there for 95 years, that ultimately the way that the company itself has grown, today, it would be worth a little over $10 million.
That's really hard to believe, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it truly is incredible. And I think one of the biggest lessons from that is just the beauty of patience. And just, I think so often as it relates to investing, we hear so much surrounding whether or not people should buy a stock one month and sell it another. And here's Warren Buffett talking about just the beauty of compound interest and how just buying and holding, you know, how it makes sense over years and decades. And then, I mean, soon enough, that number will be centuries and just the power associated therein.
Well, you know, $40 ain't what it used to be. But in your article, you say the equivalent of $40 is $540. And so that's kind of the cost of an Xbox. So
yeah. The
question is, you know, do you buy the Xbox or do you buy so many shares of a great company and just hold it forever?
Yeah, and that's a great question. And it, to be honest with you, I like video games. I was always a big fan of playing Madden and things like that growing up. But admittedly, if my parents had asked, hey, Patrick, you can either get an Xbox or, you know, in 50 years, you can have a couple million dollars saved up, what would you rather have? I would probably no longer ask for video games for Christmas.
Well, you're a bit of a nerd, I think. Because I think, you know, if your parents are still asking you that question, the only thing on your mind is a video game. So investing for the long term is the key here, the power of patience and the dangers of timing. Let's spend a couple of minutes on that. You know, he's noted continually that it's terribly dangerous to attempt to time the market. You don't know what's going to happen from day to day, from month to month, but you can take a look at a company or a group of companies that can grow their earnings over time and intrinsically become more valuable. So there's so many products out there and salespeople out there telling us to trade the market, to follow some kind of a trend, to sell if the stock goes down and to buy it going up. Are you saying that all of that has got no value?
You know, if I'm going to be totally honest with you, I really think that there is no value in that. I think one of the most interesting things to me, you know, very recently, there was, of course, the Michael Lewis book, Flash Boys, about how there are all these just kind of remarkable things going on Wall Street related to firms attempting to beat another firm and buying, you know, a collection of shares of one company, not by minutes or seconds, but I mean, like fractional milliseconds of milliseconds. And so I really think just kind of one of the most dangerous things related to the stock market is we can often think like, oh, well, it's going up, so I don't want to buy. It's going down, I don't want to buy. So, I mean, I am right there with Buffett. Just, I think there is just beauty in just kind of saying, okay, well, I'm going to invest in this company based on all the parameters of it, and then saying, okay, this is an intelligent investment, or simply saying, okay, every month, no matter what happens, I'm going to put my money into something like an index fund, and then if it goes up, I'll buy it. If it goes down, I'll buy it, right, and just save through that and just kind of the beauty associated therein.
You know, getting back to Warren Buffett and what he's doing these days, he's got over $50 billion in cash in Berkshire Hathaway, $50 billion. Now, I was at the last Berkshire Hathaway conference, and you know, he said that he keeps $20 billion just kind of hanging around to protect the company and to, you know, to have the money there, just a cool $20 billion. So he's got $30 billion war chest, and he says that his elephant gun is loaded and he's out hunting. And you say in your article that, you know, he thinks that he should probably take on some debt to buy this next company. So maybe he's looking for a $50 billion company. I mean, what kind of company do you think would fit that parameter?
Yeah, that's a great question. And admittedly, my assumption is pure speculation. So, you know, thankfully, he's narrowed the list somewhat. You know, he's often spoke to the reality that he'll only invest in businesses that he understands. And, you know, he's written and said a lot about kind of what that looks like. And, you know, he said openly and said, hey, Facebook and Twitter are great. It's not as though he doesn't understand them. He just doesn't feel he would be comfortable buying them outright. So there are two we can cross off our list, but he definitely isn't to suggest that those themselves aren't great investments, just ones that he personally wouldn't make. But having said all of that, I mean, Buffett is full of wisdom and insight. And two companies that I highlighted that I think could be really interesting, one is Costco. It kind of falls right into that threshold of $50 billion. And one of the very interesting things about Costco is he's praised it relatively frequently and relatively often, just speaking to the management team that operates it, just their business model. His favorite businesses is one he acquired in the 80s. It was a furniture company, and the woman who ran it told him, I may not get the exact quote, but if you offer the lowest price on anything, customers will find you at the bottom of a river. And you see it with Geico itself, which is an insurance company that Berkshire Hathaway bought and has had incredible success where, you know, when they bought it in the 90s, it only had 2% of the insurance market. Now it has 10% because people will always find the lowest price. And that's what Geico does and operates. And that's what Costco does.
Well, he also owns Walmart. And Walmart, of course, is the lowest cost provider there. So that's a bit of a moat that Warren Buffett always talks about. You want to buy a company that has a moat around it where it's very difficult for other competitors to come in. Costco would fit that. I've done some math on Costco, and I think Costco's really overpriced. I know that Buffett, and you know, far be it from me to speak Buffett's mind, but you know, he wants to buy a great company at a fair price. He doesn't have to buy it cheap, but I don't think he's going to overpay either. And the math that I've done, I kind of suggest that I think Costco is currently overpriced, but we shall see. Any other companies that he might have his sights on?
Yeah, so the only other one, and again, this is pure assumption, and I mentioned it, but it's Phillips 66, which is, you know, of course, an energy company that we're well aware of and have heard of. And the really interesting thing about that is Buffett, very recently, he's made a variety of acquisitions all in energy landscape, and he's talked about how so far through MidAmerican Energy and some of the other subsidiaries that Berkshire Hathaway owns, they've poured $15 billion into making investments, and they're prepared to do another $15 billion. And so, you know, so often Warren Buffett had talked to, you know, just businesses that could just kind of operate and plug along and maybe not have to make these big capital expenditures. And now he's in some ways turned his focus and his sights on that and is really interested in the energy landscape.
Yeah.
So that's one where it's just kind of assumption and just saying, hey, you know, this is a big energy firm that we know Buffett likes energy and has been kind of actively pursuing that. And who knows, maybe that'll be an option that's out there as well. But to be totally honest with you, I haven't explored it from a value perspective. And although he said he'd rather buy a great business at a good price than a good business at a great price. So, you know, the value is always something that he'd consider and certainly one that he would keep in mind.
Yeah, so, but both of those companies have a capitalization of around $50 billion. You know, this idea of him not buying Facebook, I think what he does is he wants to know that a company is going to be in business or that what they do is going to be viable 10 years from now, 10 and more years. And I think it, with a technology company, it's hard to know whether that particular software or hardware is really going to last long enough time. Does it have an enduring aspect to it to last, like Coca-Cola, you know, 100 years. So many technology companies were popular, great products, but then they fall by the wayside. I don't think Warren Buffett's really interested in trying to figure out whether a particular product is going to be around 10 years from now. So he's looking for these solid businesses. You know, you talk about the energy complex, you know, even Burlington Northern Santa Fe that he bought a few years ago, you know, they haul coal, they haul gas. It's part of the infrastructure of moving things around. I know he's also made an investment, a smaller investment in Chicago Bridge and Iron, which also builds, you know, natural gas terminals and things like that that's involved. So, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe he's really building up this energy side of things. Before we go, well, you know, we're kind of out of time, but, you know, he also had some things to say to college students, and I want to read them really quickly, if you don't mind, from your article, and I'm going to quote him. The most important investment that a person can make is in themselves. He says, I tell students that you only get one body and one mind. You'd better treat them the same way. It's hard to change habits at 50 or 60. The best asset is your own self. You can become, to an enormous degree, the person that you want to be. So talking about kids going to college and what's important is follow your bliss, follow your dream. Final comments, Patrick?
Yeah, I think that's great advice. And, you know, Warren Buffett, he's one of those guys, he's talked so much about his past and what that's looked like. And, you know, he said he's made some mistakes in college and, you know, didn't necessarily pursue the investing side of things, but he learned so much through it. And I think that's great advice to all of us where, you know, really treat those 4 years or however many years in college as really a season to better understand who we were created and made to be and what that will look like, you know, not just in college, but well beyond that.
Very good. My guest, Patrick Morris from The Motley Fool. Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you, Steve.
You're listening to On the Money with certified financial planner Steve Pomerantz. If you'd like information about guests, topics, or anything you hear on this program, call 866-MONEY01 or visit the show's website at onthemoneyradio.org.